Good morning. Welcome to the Lion Church. Beautiful summer morning. Glad each and every one of you are here. Please pray with me. I believe in God, the giver of grain and bread, and in Jesus Christ, the bread of life broken for us, and in the Holy Spirit, God's nourishing power in every grain and loaf. I believe that Christ is to be leavened in us, so that we may offer bread, the bread of life, to all the hungers of every human heart. This summer, we're worshiping with the Psalms. This is part of the Bible that Jesus knew. When he quoted Scripture, he often quoted the Psalms. Today we are going to consider Psalm 67 in three different settings. Please join me in setting one. May God be merciful to us and bless us.
May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon the earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase.
God, our God, bless us.
May God give us blessing.
And may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
And then the second setting, Psalm 67. Bless us, O God. Whisper in our hearts and light our time.
Shared how almost unbearable the nights had become for him, when the world goes dark and quiet, and there was nothing, including sleep, that he could summon to distract him from his physical pain and from the anxieties of his mind. So it was with a grateful heart that I listened to his daughter Kelly, who had hastily traveled to be at his bedside, tell of his last hours that took place in the evening, and the peace she felt overtake him even as night fell. I realized that what I was most grateful for in his passing was that he had been able to make peace with the night. And that, perhaps, is the prayer that I need most urgently for myself, for my mom, and for all who are struggling with the evening of this life. Making Peace with the Night, a Psalm for Mom. I used to pray for light. Everything will be better in the morning, she'd say. Together we'd search for glimmers, a distant beckoning. Remember when? And look at this picture. And let's sing. I know you know what I mean, she says, her eyes pleading through mine, mine pleading for strength to feel what she needs. Together we search for connection. I feel afraid too, and this isn't how we pictured it, and you are the strongest woman I know. I should probably stay here, she says, and my heart clenches my breath. I feel like I failed her. Yet together we continue to search for the moment. Can I hold your hand? And we love you. And Dad comes every day. I used to pray for light, but now for rest in the dark. And they lead the way, still singing the prayer, the halting melody carried by his tenor harmony, hands not folded, but clasped in each other's grasp. Father, we thank thee for the night and for the present morning light.
About 1 month after my family moved to Kansas City 9 years ago, I ventured to the Plaza Library with my kids on a Friday morning for story time. We ended up staying long after the story hour because I was enjoying time with two wonderful women I'd met that day. That evening, I came home and told Ken that I hoped to see these new friends soon. Again, hopefully I would bump into them or something. 2 days later, on Sunday, we visited Rainbow Mennonite Church for the first time. During the fellowship hour, we milled around with our donuts and coffee when my eyes locked with someone across the room, and it was one of the women I met at the library. It was Tanya Orman. We were both surprised and delighted, and I knew right then that she and I would be close friends. I'm happy to say that the entire Ortman-Stoltzfus family has since become very dear to us. Our families have shared countless meals, soccer matches, camping trips, and even a week at the beach together. We've also seen each other through some significant life-changing moments. Back when we first met, the Ortman-Stoltzfus family was a family of four. Today, their family number is harder to quantify as they become foster parents. As they walk this path, we have had the privilege to celebrate, worry, agonize, and pray for them as they have navigated this complex journey, often without clear roadmaps, to become the fluid family that they are today, always with the awareness that things can change tomorrow. This psalm is for Key, Tanya, Caleb, Asher, Odyssey, and Autumn, and with special mention of baby Jessie, who spent some of her earliest weeks of life as a part of the Ortman-Stoltzfus family. I see God smiling upon you when you experience the joys of rocking newborn babies, reading with your toddler, snuggles and hugs, birthday celebrations, first steps and first words, successful potty training, witnessing the bonding of siblings, watching the bonds of trust form, dreaming of what it would be like to adopt the children that you care for and love. May you experience God's grace through the uncertainties of time you have together with the most recent children who have entered into your family, wondering if the girls are well cared for when they make visits to homes of families you don't even know. The roller coaster of emotions that you ride while all the time holding it together so your family feels safe and secure. The uncertainty that comes with faulty systems that cause you to wonder who has the best interests of the children when decisions are made. Last minute changes to plans, and the lack of control you feel as parents when there are multiple entities involved in how you must care for your kids who you care so deeply for. And always, in the back of your mind, are questions of how your oldest kids are handling so many changes. May God be merciful to you through the frustrations of dealing with bureaucracy, canceled court dates, surviving interviews and questions to prove your family is fit to foster. Faulty systems, lack of consensus and direction, the frustrations that come from lack of sleep as you care for children through the night, adjusting to moving from two kids to four kids in a short period of time. The deeper frustration that comes to mind when you contemplate the long-term effects the girls will likely deal with as a result of abandonment. Or the frustrating moments when people use words that show they don't understand what you're going through, leaving you lonely and misunderstood. I see God shine through you when you have shown compassion for your children when they hurt themselves, or when they are surprised when you come back after a short travel. This compassion is extended to others who love your girls, shown in the way you open your home so that special familial relationships with the girls can be maintained. Your ability to continually recognize that every time the case shows favor towards adoption, it also means a significant relationship will be lost. I see you suspended in that awareness, mindfully holding this in the balance. Tanya and Key, and to others whose families are formed through difficult processes, may God be praised for each precious life that has been entrusted to your loving care. And may the light of God shine through and around you, not because what you're doing is noble, but because the beautiful and complex act of parenting your children, regardless of how they came to be your family, is love.
We began attending Rainbow almost 20 years ago. I saw Darren at church events, and I learned that his mother had worked at Prairie View, where I also was employed, but I didn't really get to know him very well. Needing something to do with my aging body, I signed up for the Run Walk group that met in Waldo and later in Brookside. I ran a little, but ended up walking more than running. Darren ran well and strong with those long legs. How I envy his speed and grace. When Darren and Erica were married, I attended the service at the Methodist Church, not because we were close friends, but because I wanted to support Darren's marriage to someone for whom the church was important. Then came the day that I remember well, when Darren said his knee was hurting after running. He hoped it would be better next week. I had no idea that this was the beginning of the end of his running days, and I still can hardly believe it. Now I see this capable one-time engineer, basketball player, and runner at least once or twice a month when I drive him in his motorized wheelchair for a treatment. Although he has little control over the muscles from his shoulders down, I continue to be impressed with his wisdom. humor, energy, and determination. How Erica and Darren continue to love and manage a wonderful family stands as a witness to an inner strength and spiritual courage of divine proportions, which led me to write what I call the Penner Song to Darren Penner family of Rainbow, a song of thanksgiving. May God be gracious to you and bless you. May God make God's face to shine on you so that your faithfulness in spirit and profound endurance will be known to many. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy in the witness to your continuing courage and ongoing hope in the midst of profound disability. May your struggle and suffering be a witness to the rest of us in the community of the importance of maintaining grace and courage in life's darkest times. We thank God, not for your suffering, but for the grace you demonstrate in continuing to be present in our midst and engaged in our community's concerns. We pray for a continuation of the energy and resourcefulness that you, the Penner family, Adeline, Emery, Erica, and Darren, regularly demonstrate for the rest of us. And we cherish your presence, not just for disability, but for the wisdom, insight, and experience with the vicissitudes of life that you bring to our common life. We pray, God, to grant you continuing strength, courage, grace, and endurance in the days to come. The earth has healed its injuries. God, our shared eternal hope, supports us in sorrow and in gracefulness. Thanks be to God.
So Ruth asked me to write a song from the perspective of a new mother, and I promise she did not say anything to me about Psalm 67. So I did my own revision of Psalm 91. But I keep it so sort of pretend like I know about whoever Sir Oh, I should also mention I wrote this specifically for my son Calvin. Whoever surrenders to the light of Christ will find peace in God's abundant grace. In 30 years, I've experienced miracles and disappointments. I've learned to inhale peace and exhale doubt. The Lord is my refuge. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And yet, if I'm honest, sometimes I'm still afraid. Afraid for you, and probably, again, if I'm being honest, afraid for me. On a basic level, I pray that the Lord will protect you from bodily harm, but I also pray that the Lord will embrace you in the fullness of divine strength, and that from this embrace, you will siphon your sense of peace and your sense of power. I pray that you will never fear the oppressive systems of this world. I pray that your joy will never be clouded by the darkness of those who uphold them. When you were born, it wasn't a given that black lives, black joy, or black beauty mattered. It wasn't a given that Muslims mattered, that women and girls mattered, that immigrants mattered, or that the earth mattered. But I want you to know that it all matters to God. And I pray that as you grow up, you will find your place in the swelling wave that finally brings the kingdoms of hate and indifference to their knees. The human capacity to legislate and perpetrate hate may not end in either of our lifetimes. In fact, it probably won't end until the end of times. But I think that you'll find that if you allow the peace that surpasses all understanding to transform your life, you'll have the courage to stare oppression square in the face and declare, "Not today, Satan, not today." Even if it's just in your little corner of the world. Because when you're working to advance the kingdom of peace, our great and omnipotent Creator will command angels to guard you in everything you do. They will lift you up so that no evil will overpower you, at least not in a real way. So know that it is without fear that you should call out the racism and sexism you see in your world. It is without fear that you should refuse to submit to any authority rooted in hate.
"Kathy, if you'll hold on to me for dear life," God says, "I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care, if only you'll get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation."
Over Memorial Day week this year, I participated in a 75-mile-long migrant walk from Sasabe, Sonora, Mexico, to Tucson, Arizona. During the week, our collective group put one foot in front of the other in community to bear witness to the unnecessary deaths happening in the desert. The vision of the group that we recited most days together is the following. The precarious reality of our borderlands calls us to walk. We are a spiritually diverse, multicultural group who walk together on a journey of peace to remember people, friends, and family who have died, others who have crossed, and people who continue to come. We bear witness to the tragedy of death and the inhumanity in our midst. Lastly, we walk as a community in defiance of the borders that attempt to divide us, committed to working together for the human dignity of all peoples. I would like to offer in response the reflection to honor these often forgotten migrants. Las mujeres, presente. Los hombres, presente. Las niñas, presente. Los niños, presente. Las muchachas, presente. Los muchachos, presente. Each silent walk is only interrupted by the clomp of 120 feet on the dirt road, the swish of each step, and the occasional call to move over for cars. My eyes wander across the vast desert, the skeletons of cacti that did not receive enough water to survive greet me on either side. Water is life. Then, as we grow closer to our rest stop, our source of water, we begin to yell the names of migrants who have also fallen victim to the harshness of this place. Despite the promise of hope of a future, they too have become skeletons lying on the desert floor. Many human remains that are discovered are not able to be identified. For those souls, we scream desconocida, or unknown. Presente, present. We remember. In the front of the group, we carry a prayer stick wrapped with ties. As Maria, the maker of the sacred symbol, explains and unwinds a thread with small tokens attached meticulously every few inches, she fights back tears. She explains that the 100 emblems represent the 100 deceased migrants who have been found in the desert so far this year, followed by symbols for the earth, sun, and spirit. As she explains the meaning, she cannot push back her emotions that are raw. She knows that for every one death represented on the strand, there are at least 100 more. She laments, "I wonder, why do we even count if we know that there are thousands more out there? Why do we count? Because it matters to this one," pointing to one of the ties, "and to this one, and this one. There are many families that will continue to wait for their loved one to come home. It cannot happen to my child." We walk for those who are desconocido, or unknown. We bear witness to their lives, their deaths, and their spirit. Presente.
One day, me, Terry, and Renee, we made a song. Each of us drew four letters and created a word with the letters and created a phrase with the word. We worked on putting the phrases together to create this song.
So please join us for this song of prayer.
Lord, all-powerful Creator, welcome us into God's presence. bodies are minds. Strengthen our souls. Fulfill our needs. Relieve our anxieties. O Lord, we need you. If you are not by our side, all feels hopeless. Understanding can be so hard. Restore love in the world. Xylophones will sing your name, praising you with the sounds of instruments. Amen.
Last week, several youth sponsors and delegates all traveled to Orlando, Florida for the NCUSA Mennonite Convention that we have every 2 years, and there were these special youth worship sessions that occurred in the morning and the evening. And these youth worship sessions consisted of a worship band, some speakers, and the occasional inflatable penguin. Concluding each worship session, the band leaded us in this benediction that Renee and I are going to share with you guys.
And if you'd like to learn this song later, we will be sharing during the Sunday school hour pictures and videos and stories from some of the people that were there in Florida. So please accept this blessing benediction.
This is
the world sharing God's blessings.